also in Lent, as Abuna spoke today in Liturgy of the Gospel, that our goal is to see his face, is to see his face and to meet with him, to meet with him partially here on earth, until we meet with him and live with him permanently and eternally in heaven. But as Abuna said today, if you were listening, that we should be prepared. We the groom, that we the bride of the groom, of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be ready before we meet with him and before we see him and before we really get face to face with him, or else it's not going to be good. And I'll give you two examples of people who met with the Lord and went to the wedding, and they were not ready. And it was really bad. The first is that parable that Jesus gave, when he said, but when the king came in, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Back then, when they had weddings, people didn't go to weddings with nice, fancy clothes. They went with their own clothes. But at the door of the wedding, they used to give them garments. So you put on a garment, you get inside, everybody's wearing almost the same thing, a little bit different, but it's called a wedding garment. This man didn't have a wedding garment. Everybody else had. He didn't deserve to be in a wedding, but God invited him to the wedding. But at least at the door, when they give you a wedding garment, just put it on in order to be ready to meet with the bridegroom when he comes. And also, we know about the 10 virgins and the 5 who were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Basically, the 10 virgins, they were waiting for Christ. The 10 virgins were waiting to see him. They were good people. They wanted to meet the Lord. But 5 who were foolish, they said, as long as the lamp is on, as long as I do things that people can see, and they're good, and I do some good works, then everything is fine. I don't need to do anything else. These virgins were righteous people, going to church, doing good work. But 5 of them, 50%, they did not need, and they did not deserve to be in the wedding. Basically, because they were not ready with their oil. Didn't have oil in their pockets to carry with them. The wedding garment and the oil is something called holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. That's what we're going to talk about. Previously, you guys spoke about the frame of repentance, the floor of honesty, the foundation of humility, the power of grace. And today we're going to put something else on that building, the walls of holiness. I don't know if you remember the last time I came here to Light and Life, what did I talk about? Holiness of God. So I'm sure he's saying, this man doesn't have anything else to say. It doesn't matter. Really, the truth, this is one of the hardest topics to talk about. And I don't know how I'm going to enter every single time and get out of it. This is very, very, very hard. No one can talk about this. I feel... Anyways. It's very hard. Because it's something not easy. As the gospel said, holiness without which no one will see the Lord. That's scary, right? I have to adopt that. I have to get this oil and put it with me before I meet with him, the cloth of righteousness and the oil of the Holy Spirit. If I don't have this, I cannot see him. When I see him, I will be condemned. There is no way anyone can do it. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to do something for the church before the church meet him in eternity. He said here, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy. She should be holy and without blemish, or else she won't get to marry the bridegroom. That's scary. That's why when Jesus came, when he died for the church, he died for the church in order to sanctify her, to bring human beings to their own, to the original design, on the image of God. Basically, the groom or the bride must match the groom and must be ready. Have you ever seen any bride before coming with her folders and her laptop and everything is falling from her hands and saying, oh my goodness, I forget about my wedding and I had the due date and I couldn't do anything about it? That's not a wedding. That's something else. Never seen something like this before. Else the wedding is called off. Holiness is one of God's attributes, one of the attributes of God that he will give to human being in order to match him. We must match him in order to get married in heaven. We must convert back to the original design. Unless you are converted and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have to be like children. In what? In being silly? Playing with stories? No. It's the holiness and it's the purity of heart. The holiness without which no one can see God. The holiness of God is his ultimate and infinite purity and his total separation from sin and total separation from evil. That everything around him must be holy. You know that? Everything around God is holy and must be holy. What holy means? Means set apart, separated or consecrated, just for God's own use, and different from everything else. Different from the world. Different from the mentality of the world. You know what? What set apart means? You know the story of the ducks, the black ducks and white ducks? So when you have, like, you know, some white ducks and there is one white, you say, you take from, come, because you're separate from them. Or you play black duck, you're separate. Just separate them. These are different ducks. This is completely different style. Let it alone, let it aside. The house of God, we call it holy place because it's where God dwells. The word of God, we call it holy Bible. The servants of God, the angels, we call them the holy angels. And the children of God are holy people, consecrated and dedicated for him and separate from the world. St. Peter said it when he said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It doesn't mean that they were born holy. No. They were born in darkness, but he called them to holiness. He called them to a holy life. He called them to be separated and totally different from the world, or else life that He is preparing for us. Holiness comes only from Him, and He is willing to give us this holiness, and He is inviting us to this life, the life of holiness. That we are different in everything. That we are different in everything. There is another verse that I don't have it here on the screen, but it's in your outline. Also from Peter 1, 1 Peter. Where he said, "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Sorry, I didn't have it here, but it's in your outline. "But as He who called you is holy," He called you to this life, "you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" Holiness comes only from God. Don't ever think that there is anything in this world you can do in order to be a holy person. Problem is, when we think of holiness, what we always think of is, I need to do such and such and such, and I need to stop doing this and this and that, and that's very hard, therefore holiness is not mine. That's wrong. You know where holiness comes in your life? Comes inside out. Comes from the inside and goes all the way to the outside. But it starts from the inside. Starts from this oil that was hidden in their pockets. Starts from the inside, from the heart, from the conscious, from the intention. It's something internal, not external. External actions will come later on, but holiness is something internal, not external. That's why the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Let me ask a question. If you see a saint, a true saint, a holy man or woman, or a Pharisee, would you see any difference? Would you know who is a Pharisee and who is a holy person? No way. The Pharisees were saints of their day. Good actions from outside. Didn't speak a single bad word. Didn't do any bad action in front of anyone. Watching everything they say, they counted their own steps. They knew exactly, they kept all the fastings. But from inside, it was full of indulgence and greed and evil. That's the difference between Christianity and any other religion. Other religions, they may show nice and good from the outside. They keep good conduct from the outside. No one knows what's the inside. But for us Christians, we start from the inside and we focus on the inside. That's why Jesus came and said, "You heard in the old, do not commit adultery," from the outside. "But I say to you, if anyone looks to a woman to desire her, to lust her, he had committed already adultery." From where? In his heart. "You've heard, do not kill. But I tell you, even if you get angry at your brother from inside, then you deserve judgment. fastings and praying and everything good or bad we're going to do in this world is going to go away one day. But one thing is going to stay with you till eternity is your heart, is your soul, is your inner being, is your spirit. And if this spirit is not sanctified and cleansed by God, I'm a set apart person. I'm a consecrated person, but from the outside. But from the inside, never know. I'm serious. From the inside, you never know. Maybe my heart is not consecrated to God. Maybe my heart is still living for the world. Maybe my heart is not as the heart of someone who is meek and humble, working in the world. But he said to God, no one will live in this heart but you. It is the heart. That's why Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Basically, focusing on the heart. And also said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Out of the heart, maybe the actions are pure. Maybe never committed adultery from the outside. But maybe commits adultery every single day from the inside. That's why we also say that holiness is the purity of heart. That's the definition of holiness. Pure heart. Pure heart in order for God to live in it. To be able to holiness is the presence of God in the heart or in the inner being. Holiness is the full presence of God in the heart, the inner being. How God will dwell in there. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So there is a presence of God in that holy heart that is able to receive God. Most important question, how do I lead this holy life? What do I do? Again, never think about things that you should do from the outside. Because nothing you can do from the outside to purify your heart. Not your actions. But I'll tell you what it is. As we said, that holiness comes from the Holy Spirit through sanctification. Spirit of God is a Holy Spirit. And because it's holy, its role to purify the souls. The work of the Holy Spirit is to make me holy like Him. And we call this sanctification. That's the work of the Holy Spirit within us. To return us back to the original image, the image of God, through sanctification. That's why we pray in the third hour prayer, the prayer for the Holy Spirit, and we say, O Heavenly King, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who is present everywhere and fills all, the treasury of goodness and giver of life, graciously come and dwell within us, purify us of every blemish, O good one, and save our souls. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then our job in this life is to do what? Is to be filled with the Spirit. This is our job. They say it is the goal of Christian, to be filled with the Spirit. The goal of Christian life. And it is the purpose of the church. And it is the message of the gospel. It is the goal of Christian life. It is the purpose of the church. And it is the message of the gospel. Is what? Is that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. In order daily to purify and cleanse and make me go back to that original image. St. Paul said it very nicely here. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed every single day. Transformed into what? Into the same image of God. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit, the Lord. The work of the Holy Spirit is, I look at the image of God, and every day I go from glory to glory. Convert, get closer to that picture, to that image, until my image is like His. Then we're ready to get married. Sanctification. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? There is three levels or three ways of sanctification that we do almost every day in our lives. The first one is the sanctification through the Word of God. And please, I know that you all read the Bible. And I'm sure that most of us do our daily quiet time. But please, listen to one thing here. The Bible that you read, these were the words of some prophets and apostles and saints who loved God. Not only they loved God, but these people were full of the Spirit. That's why every single word they spoke or they wrote was not me, what do we do with the ideas and the messages and the stories and the, what do we do with them? We forget them. So many times, people who read the Bible many, many times, they read a story in the Bible, wow, it looks like as if I never read it before in the Bible. Overlooked. Didn't know what that is. Didn't get the spirit of the word. Didn't ask the Holy Spirit that these words that I read now become a spirit in me. That the same spirit that spoke these words will come into me and make these words life. Not just words or ideas. That's a mystery. That's why Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Again, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The spirit of God and the life of God. When you read the word of God, do you get the spirit of God? Are you filled with the spirit? Or you get the ideas of God and the messages of God, which is something great. And I say, I got a message today from God. Great idea. Second day, I tell you, what did you get yesterday from your quiet time? I had no idea what was it about. Why? Because I got an idea, a message, which is good. It's great. But I'm going to forget it. But if I get a spirit that comes into my inner being, no way in the entire world anyone would make me forget that. It's within. Purifies, cleanses. That's why St. Paul said that, for it, meaning everything or every creature, is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified by the word of God? You mean like I read the word of God and things are sanctified? Yes, because these are not words. These are spirit. The spirit of God that can cleanse, that can wash, that can purify, that can change the heart. What change heart, people? What made St. Anthony get a verse from the Bible and changes his entire life? It wasn't a verse. It wasn't an idea. It wasn't a message. It was the Spirit of God that came within him and enabled him to do what God asked him to do. It was the power of God. It was a spirit. It wasn't an idea. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. What is that? What kind of word in the world that can purify someone, that can cleanse someone? What kind of ideology in the world that you can read and can cleanse you and purify you and make you holy other than the word of God? When you get the spirit of the word, when you get the breath of God, when you pray and tell him, Lord, that's not what I want. I need your breath. Because a breath from you, like this psalm that we pray in the third hour, which says, the voice of the Lord thunders. What? The voice of the Lord melts the mountains. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. Cedars of Lebanon is like huge trees, like five times this height. Very strong trees. Voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord breaks the flame of fire. What is this? That's the Spirit of God. When you read, it cleanses. That's why when you get near the Word of God, you get near for sanctification and for cleansing, for meeting Him face to face. When you repent, you come to the word of God in order to cleanse you. If Jesus said you are already clean because of the words that I speak to you, then if you need to be clean, you get to the word of God and you get on it and you tell him, I'm not going to leave here until you cleanse me by the word. Remember the word that we said early on, that Jesus is going to sanctify the church and cleanse her by the word. That's the word of God. When you're depressed or down, what lifts your spirit up other than the Spirit of God and the Word? Do we find the Bible a source of spirit and life or not? Or else, how are we going to be cleansed and sanctified? If we cannot pray any sacrament in the church unless we read the Word of God first, because when we read the Word of God, we get the Spirit of God that can transform the bread and wine, and can transform the water of the baptism, that can does the mystery. If we cannot perform any sacrament without the Word, how can you do anything? And sanctification without the Word of God. When you love God, and when you want to see Him, and when you're excited about Him, what do? You go to the Word of God, because He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. The Father and the Son will come and dwell within me because I just kept the Word of God. No, because not because I kept the Word of God, but I kept the Spirit of God through His Word. That's the spirit of sanctification. Imagine if every day the Holy Spirit sanctify us by the Word and make us closer and closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How would we look at the end of the year, or the end of campaign, or our life growing from glory to glory? Second is sanctification through the sacraments. The sacraments of the church, 7 sacraments of the church. You know, the sacraments of the church, the baptism, the chrismation, the confession, communion, marriage, priesthood, unction. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who performs these sacraments in the church. And He is the one who fills us with the Holy Spirit when we perform these sacraments. And when we partake of these sacraments through understanding, full desire, and reverence. Full understanding that Christ is present in this sacrament. That I'm coming to meet Him. That I'm coming not to participate, but I'm coming to be filled with the Spirit. Understanding the presence of Christ through His words that are read in the sacraments, that's able to sanctify. Understanding of what God wants to give us and the purpose of God in every sacrament. And second, desire. Full desire of meeting God. If you come to any sacrament without full desire of meeting Him, you won't meet Him. Many people came right to the door of the Lord Jesus and they were not able to meet Him. Like these virgins. They were called virgins. They're pure people. They're good people. But their desire was not full. They weren't wholeheartedly wanting to meet Him. Or else they would have kept any oil there, would have done anything. This man who went into the wedding without the garment, why? Just put it on. It's too hot. Doesn't matter. Just put it on. The desire was not full. He's coming to participate. It's good to be there. It's good to be part of the virgins and to look nice and to hold the lambs. That's fine. But are you going to meet Him in the end? Are you going to be united with Him in the end? 10 virgins came, 50% of them didn't meet the Lord. 50% of the people, or even more, who come to partake of the body and blood of Christ and to unite with Him in a mysterious way, they go out without even seeing His face. Why? No desire, no understanding, and in the end, no reverence. But if we have the understanding, the desire and the reverence, we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrament in a mysterious way. That's what we say, that in every sacrament we meet with God in a mysterious way. We do meet with Him. Don't ever think that the church has only 7 sacraments. No. church has so many sacraments. The seven is just the major seven, but we have so many minor. Like what? Like getting together to pray. Jesus said, if two or three gather in my name, I will be in their midst. You want to tell me that this is not a sacrament? This is not a presence of God? This is not a fullness of the Spirit? When you get together as a small group, guess who is in your midst? Because you're gathering for the purpose of to talk to the Lord and to meet Him. Jesus in your midst. You don't want to go to the small group? That's fine. That's up to you. But whenever there is a social gathering, we're there and, you know, let's just do something fun. Get God out of the way in order to get something fun. But there is true presence of God when we believers get together and seek Him. If two or three gather in my name, I'll be in their midst. This is one of the sacraments of the church. Saint Irenaeus said, wherever the church gathers, the Holy Spirit is there. And wherever the Holy Spirit is, the church is there. I'll say it again. He said, wherever the church gathers, the Holy Spirit is there. And wherever the Holy Spirit is, the church is there. I'll let you meditate on that, because it has like a deeper meaning. I don't want to get into this. Okay? So every single small group, every gathering could be a way to be filled with the Spirit, to be sanctified, to go back to this image, the image of Christ, to imprint this image on us. Every chance to get together is a mystery. The third is prayer, the life of prayer. But not every prayer has the presence of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But only the prayer that's led by the Spirit can fill you with the Spirit. A lot of time you pray, get out of prayer, even more depressed than when you started praying. If this happens to you, this is very normal. A lot of people like this. Because of course, if you talk about your problems and focus on what's going on in your life and keep talking to God about you, it's very boring. So get out of prayer just depressed of talking about yourself and what's happening in your life. So it's depressing. So get out of prayer depressed. So it's normal. But don't tell me that this is a prayer that is full with the Spirit. But the prayer that is led by the Spirit of God. As St. Paul said in Romans 8:26, when he said, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He makes the intercession. The Holy Spirit gives us the words, what to speak and what to say. But are you excited? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit to lead your prayer? Are you asking for the presence of God within you? Are you praying very hard for that? You're praying for the prayer. You're praying for the Holy Spirit to lead your prayer. As the Lord taught us that, I say to you, ask, given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? Give what? The Holy Spirit for those who ask Him. The purpose of prayer should be to be filled with the Spirit. Who said that prayer should be a shopping list and our requests that never ends? You know what? It should be our prayers. It should be our requests. sanctify you and make you a holy person. That's not your work. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that in order to be a holy person, there is 10 million things that you have to do and 10 million things that you have to stop doing. No. Sanctification and holiness come from the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And your job is to be filled with that Spirit. The question is, do you want? Not the easier route, not the best way, but the cleansing way, the sanctifying way. Because the sanctification makes you like Him. And that's what God wants for you. He wants that. God wants that. God's will for you is to be sanctified. But do you have this desire? Is it the desire of your heart? You get out of the prayer that's filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God, and you are depressed. And you're still thinking about problems and what's going on in the world. Absolutely not. You're so happy and joyful and on top of the world, even though nothing changed in the world. But you're on top of things. Why? It's the cleansing. Any sadness in our life, it's because of sin. It's because of the impurity of the heart. Still, this heart is connected to the world, is connected to things, is still slave of things. But when the Holy Spirit purifies and cleanses, brings the joy back. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, and peace. Why? Sanctification, the sin is gone. Anything that makes sadness is not from God. It's not from God, and God doesn't want this, want that. Once you experience the purification, the sanctification, that's all that you need in life. That's the purpose of Christian life. Or the goal of Christian life and the purpose of the church and the message of the gospel. Our role in that sanctification is one thing, is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. What fellowship means? The Holy Spirit will be working, just cooperating with the Holy Spirit, inviting Him, desiring Him, asking for Him, letting Him do things in my life, that I should be cleansed in the end, sanctified.